What would you like to have for Christmas? Wouldn't you like to have a gift that would last forever? I mean, wouldn't you like to have something that does not wear out? How about a gift that you can give away and yet still keep it? What do you want for Christmas? You know, speaking of what he wants for Christmas, I heard about a husband and wife. The wife wanted a brand new car for Christmas, and she said to her husband, she said, I want a mean machine that'll go from 0 to 60 in 5 seconds. Well, Christmas morning, she could hardly wait, got up and looked out on the driveway, and guess what she found? A bathroom scale. 0 to 60 in 5 seconds. How many know she was not a happy camper? But anyway, what do you want for Christmas? I heard about one teacher that was teaching her students and said to them, what is Christmas all about? And one of the students, a little girl, said, I know. And the teacher said, what, honey? She said, it's about the birth of Jesus. Well, very good. Another little boy raised his hand and said, I know. And she said, what, son? He said, it's about family getting together and having Christmas and dinner and having a good time. A third little boy raised his hand. She said, what, son? He said, Christmas is about sportsmanship. She said, what? He said, it's about sportsmanship. She said, what do you mean? He said, in case you don't get what you want, you got to be a good sport. All right. He's a lot. Have you ever gotten a gift that you didn't like? Has anybody ever given you a gift and you thought you were going to get something else and you ripped through the package and you said, oh, I like it. Oh, listen, what do you want for Christmas? I want to preach today on the subject of the gift that lasts forever. The gift that lasts forever. A gift that you can keep, yet it's a gift you can give. It's a gift that does not wear out. It's a gift that money can't buy. It's a gift that all of us need, the gift that lasts forever. What do you want for Christmas? And here's where we're going in the message today. We're going to look at a passage of scripture that you're probably well familiar with. In fact, it's found in the book of Isaiah. So find your Bible and find, please, the book of Isaiah. And look with me in chapter 9 of the book of Isaiah. And we'll read the text in a moment. Isaiah chapter 9. And our text today is going to be primarily two verses, namely found in verse 6 and 7 of the book of Isaiah. As you're turning to the book of Isaiah, and we'll stand in a moment, those would like to read the wonderful word of God. But before you do, let me just simply paint some background information, historically speaking, from the book of Isaiah. And you're well aware of Isaiah's predicament. It just so happens that some enemies were lurking on the horizon, namely the Assyrians, the enemies of Israel. In fact, they came and destroyed and led captive Israel, that is the 10 nations, tribes, if you will, up in the northern kingdom, 722 B.C. However, Isaiah's primary target is directed toward the southern kingdom of Judah. Now, Isaiah is a mini Bible. How many knew Isaiah is a mini Bible? Just like our Bible contains 66 books, Isaiah contains 66 chapters. Now, you ready for this? Our Bibles are divided, if you will, are separated, if you will, between the Old Testament and the New Testament. 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. And if you look at Isaiah 39 of the first chapters are dealing with judgment and God's condemnation and retribution. And yet, if you look at the 27 final chapters of the book of Isaiah, there's a message of hope. And it certainly portrays there's hope in the Lord. How many believe there's still hope in the Lord? That's the message today. A gift that lasts forever. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, Isaiah said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. In chapter 2, verse 4 of the book of Isaiah, as we lead up to the book of Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah sees some prophetic insight, namely probably during the millennial reign. And he says, they shall beat their swords in the plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. That is no doubt a reference as Isaiah gives us glimpses into that glorious millennial reign where the kingdom of God will literally come and establish his reign here on planet Earth. We come to chapter 5 of the book of Isaiah, namely verse 20. Isaiah says, "Woe is them that call good evil and evil good, and light darkness and darkness light, and bitter sweet and sweet bitter." We come to chapter 6 of the book of Isaiah. It's in the days of King Uzziah who died, and Isaiah sees the Lord high and lifted up in his exaltation, and yet Isaiah sees himself in his own degradation as he says, "Woe is me, a man of unclean lips," and yet he responds in the affirmation. He sees God in his exaltation. He sees himself in his own degradation, but he answers the call of God. Who will go for us? Who will go? Who will tell? Who will make a difference? Isaiah responds in the affirmative way. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Is there anybody here today in the house of God today that will say to the Lord, "You can count on me, Lord. Here am I, Lord. I'll go and tell. I'll be a good salt. I'll be a bright light. I'll be a witness. Yea, I'll be an ambassador for God." And the church said, well, we come to Isaiah 7:14. "Behold, a virgin shall bring forth a child and call his name Emmanuel." The word virgin there is the word Alma. The word Alma is used other passages of scriptures. I had a little research project going on a number of years ago when I talked with a Jew, and he challenged me on this verse. I discovered that that word virgin is Alma. Again, it's used in another reference. For example, Abraham sent out his servant to find a wife for Isaac. The name of that woman is used, the Hebrew word Alma, meaning a virgin. Now, for your information, and if you're interested in the fact that when we come to the New Testament, namely Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 following, "Behold, a virgin shall bring forth a child." The word virgin in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit used the Greek word parthenos, which means the very same thing, a woman who had never known a man. Why am I saying this? Because the virgin birth doctrine is very vital when it comes to the deity, yea, Jesus being God. Well, I'll share more about that in a moment. We come to chapter 9 of the book of Isaiah. It's during a dark time. It happens, wait a minute, are you listening to me? It happens to be a time when the government is weak. Oh, it sounds like I'm describing 2015. Somebody say amen. But in the midst of that, there's a bright light. There's hope. There's joy. There's a hopeful future. And we're going to see it in verse number 6. So if you want to stand as we read the wonderful word of God, you may do so right now. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Here we come to this text. A gift that lasts forever. What do you want for Christmas? Verse number 6. If you're there, say amen. Amen. "For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." This is the word of God. And all God's people said, amen. Glory be to God. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for your presence, your power. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you, Jesus. You are a living God. And we worship you today and praise you that you rule and reign. And you are on your throne and your kingdom will come. That is literally, Lord, here on earth. And yet until then, we pray you'll empower us as your people, that you will fill us up today with faith, hope, and love. And I thank you, God, for bringing every person person here. Lord, you know our hearts. You know where we're at. And we ask you, God, to get all there is to us today. Search us and cleanse us. And Father God, break through the barriers in our heart and help us to wave the white flag and yield our life to you. And Lord, we thank you. You're the greatest gift of all, for you are God's unspeakable gift. As you tell us in your word, unmerited gift, undefiled gift, unchangeable gift. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you are that undefiled gift, for you have been made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. In you, we worship you today again and bless you and bow before you and pray you'll give us again, Lord, eyes to see the truth of your word, hearts to embrace your unspeakable glory, and lives that will be changed as we, Father God, ask you to cleanse us and fill us this very moment. Thank you again for the music and the time of worship. Be glorified in this moment. Save those that are nearest eternity, dear God, and others, Lord, we pray you'll again, you'll encourage our heart. We love you, bless you now, and expect you to do it for your glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen, and amen, and amen. You may be seated. Here is where we're going in the message. It's really two reasons that we need to give or get this gift that lasts forever. I want a gift that lasts forever. I don't want something that's going to wear out. I mean, I want something that I can give away and yet I can keep it. You know exactly where I'm going with that. It's the gift of God's goodness, grace, and love, and peace, and salvation, and forgiveness wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. So where are we going? We're going in two places, verse 6 and verse 7. Number one, and I want to introduce this. May I break this down in a part as God gave it to me. The first is in question form. Why do you and I, why do we need this gift that lasts forever? Why do you need this gift that lasts forever? And that's found in verse number 6. And then we're going to come back to verse 7 and talk for a little while on the subject of how this gift that lasts forever can give you peace and give you hope in a hopeless world, can give you purpose and can give you victory because of having this gift and letting this gift, we'll see in a moment, take control of your life. Having said that, first, you'll notice verse 6 again. Why do you need this gift? Why does everybody need this gift? Look at verse 6. For unto us a child is born. Now, there are different scholars who interpret this different. I personally believe, and others, certainly this is a reference to the messianic coming of Jesus Christ. There are differences whether this be the first coming or the second coming. I'll not get into all of the discussion concerning that because, frankly, it really doesn't matter to me. The fact is, it's focused on the Lord Jesus. Whether it be his first coming or second coming, either way, he fulfills this prophetic passage. Again, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and this and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Wow, I like that part. And it shall be upon his shoulder, the government. And his name shall be called, what? Wonderful. Say it with me. Wonderful. Counselor. Say it with me. Counselor. And the mighty God. Say it with me. The mighty God. The everlasting Father. Say it with me. The everlasting Father. And the Prince of Peace. One more time. The Prince of Peace. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Oh, yes. And so the question is why you and I need this gift. Why do I need this gift? And the two answers to this question. Number one, I need this gift and you need this gift because, watch this, it's a gift that you can trust. It's a gift that you can trust. How many believe that you can trust Jesus? In a day when you can't trust hardly anything, I want to add some good news. You and I can trust Jesus in a day when there's so much uncertainty. Oh, yes. Look at who can we trust. I mean, look at what's going on in our nation. California, The Muslim terrorists storming, shooting, killing. It's in the news about every other day. And there's some of you here today that are living in fear. There's some of you here today that you're afraid to turn on the news. Why, there's some of you today, if the truth be known, you didn't sleep last night. And now guns are skyrocketing. People are buying guns by the multitudes. There is a fear. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying there is a fear that's striking our nation and the people of God. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that? There is fear spreading across our nation. In fact, I want to go on the record, okay? I want to go on the record. I don't mean to be too hard, but and y'all just have to forgive me today, okay? I read in the paper yesterday where our president's supposed to speak tonight about the terrorism in America. I've got news for you. Now, this is my opinion. It may not be yours. I've lost all respect for our president. I don't want to hear what he's got to say. In fact, everything else he said has been wrong. I'm afraid to say he's deceived and he is led of the devil. And I believe he is a pawn in the devil's hand. And wait a minute. Evidently, I don't understand it, beloved, but evidently God has allowed him to be president not once but twice. Evidently, I was thinking about today. The only conclusion I can come up with is God is allowing this man to chastise America because maybe America has got too many idols and we turn from our God, and I think it's time to turn back to Jesus. Maybe that's what it is. And so we need a gift. We need a gift. We need a gift that we can trust. We can trust this gift. You can trust this gift. I've got news for you furthermore. And now listen, this is gonna shock you. Hold on, brace yourself. I'm not putting my trust in the next president. Can y'all hear me? I'm not putting my trust in whoever's the next president. My trust is in this book right here. My trust is in Emmanuel. My trust is that God sent us a Savior. And praise God, the trust we put in Him, He will not let us down. He'll be with us to the end. We can trust Him. He's a good God. He's a great God. He's on His throne. He's coming again. And we need to praise Him today. Amen and amen and amen. Oh, yes, He's a great God. Yes, He is. And so the question is this. What are we trusting? Let me just put it this way. Let me put it this way, okay? Can I trust that book? Can I trust that Bible? I mean, is it reliable? I mean, what kind of credibility do I have if I'm going to put my trust in this Savior? Then I've got to know what this thing says. Can you show me any other documentary or documentation like this book right here? In fact, I just can't understand how accurate and how precise and yea meticulous this book is. For example, supposing I told you, next month, today is December the 6th, right? All right, next month, January the 6th, what if I told you it's going to rain? You say, Pastor, you might get it right, 50-50, right? 50-50. What if I told you it was going to rain between 12 o'clock and 2 o'clock? You say, that's getting down a little bit lesser. What if I told you the rain from after 2 o'clock was going to turn into ice? What if I told you, and then January 6th now, it's going to rain from 12 to 2, and then it's going to turn into ice, and then after the ice, it's going to turn into snow. You say, Pastor, you're really getting on the less probabilities here. What if I told you it was going to snow 12 inches on January the 12th, on January the 6th? And then what if I told you, and on top of that, the sun's coming out the next day? You'd say, I don't know about all that predicting. I want to tell you something. I've got something that's more accurate than me guessing at it. It's right here. It's not just accurate one time. It's accurate over and over and over again. We can trust this word right here. How do I know that? I know that. It's kind of like the story of that Indian that came to the folks that were putting on a TV production, a movie, Brother Russell. And the Indian came and said, man, it's going to rain tomorrow. And so that gave them a heads up. They knew they better get out their umbrellas and such. And then next day the Indian said, it's going to be sunshiny the next day. He came and said, it'll be sunshiny. They said, all right, thanks. He said, the next day, the Indian showed up and said, it's going to be windy. Oh, it's going to be windy. Thanks, we appreciate that. The next day, he said, it's going to be real foggy. And then finally, the next day, the Indian said, I don't know what it's going to do. They said, why not? He said, radio broke. Hey, we can guess at it if we want to, but I want you to know, listen to me, there's no guessing at this book right here. Hey, do you know any other book that will predict a virgin will have a child as in Isaiah 7:14? And do you know any other book? Wait a minute. 750 years afterward, exactly like God said. Hey, how about Micah chapter 5, verse 2? This baby would be born in a place called Bethlehem. Not just any old Bethlehem, mind you, but Bethlehem, Ephrata, Bethlehem, Judea, not Bethlehem, Galilee, up near just 6 miles north of Nazareth. You know where Mary and Joseph were at, but rather 90 miles south. It had to be fulfilled because Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 said it would be. Well, was it fulfilled? Absolutely. In the book of Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. You show me another book like this that can tell you a man will come riding in on a donkey as described in the book of Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. How did Zechariah know that? Writing that wonderful book in the year 520 B.C. How did he know that 500 years from that Luke would pick up his pen and say in Luke chapter 19 and verse 35 through 37, Jesus would come riding in the triumphal entry. We call it triumphal entry. It's really the triumphal exit. He's getting ready to exit out of this old world. Oh, but I want to tell you, it was fulfilled just like God said. Hey, tell me, do you know any other book like this in Isaiah 53 that would say he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with the stripes we're healed. Oh, how did Isaiah know that? How did Isaiah know that in Matthew chapter 26 and in Matthew chapter 27, Jesus would be crucified? How did the psalmist know in Psalm 22, 18, his hands and his feet would be pierced? How did they know that? How did they know in Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12 and 13, that a man would betray the Lord for 30 pieces of silver? How in the world did they know that this same man predicted hundreds of years before it happened would throw the money on the temple floor and say, I betrayed an innocent man's blood? Oh, I want you to know they knew it because God said it. How did Daniel know in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 26? He said, the Messiah, he said, after the 62 years, the Messiah will be cut off. How did he know precisely that Jesus would be crucified? Oh, hundreds of years after the prediction. I want you to know we hold in our hand a copy of the living word of God. We can live it. We can learn it. We can love it. It's God's word. It's not heaven. It doesn't have any error in it. I'm glad to tell you we can trust this book right here because it's all about Jesus. Amen. And amen and amen. It's the Bible. It's what you can trust right now. Will you put your trust and faith in it? Oh, I know, Pastor, we're living in troubled times. I understand ICE is on the move. Things are happening in our world politically and religiously and militarily as we speak, but there's hope in the Lord. Everybody needs a gift like this that lasts forever. Well, that leads me to number two. Not only why you need this gift because it's something you can trust, but Matt suggests to you, we need this gift because it's something we can keep and give away and yet still have it. How many believe that Christmas time is a wonderful time to talk with somebody about Jesus? I talked with three black men yesterday. They were riding down the road, and I just happened to stop them in the truck, and they were working, and I just, the Lord moved on my heart to talk with them about Jesus and talk with them about the love of God. They said they were Christians. I don't know whether they were or not, but I know this. Christmas time's a wonderful time to give this gift away. Don't keep it to yourself. Go and tell. Hey, look with me if you will. Are you listening back in the back? Listen to me and look with me. See, if you got your Bible, you'll find it in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Follow with me these words that describe our Lord. Here it is in Isaiah 9, 6. His name should be called Wonderful. Let's say that together. Wonderful. One more time. Wonderful. I need a witness. I need somebody to testify. Has God been wonderful to you? Has Jesus been wonderful to you? Is there anybody here that can say, Pastor, I would like to testify. Jesus has been good to me. I'd like to tell everybody he's a wonderful God. He's a wonderful God. He's wonderful in his presence. He's wonderful in his power. He's wonderful in his promises. Hey, how many need the presence of God every day? Let me see your hand. Oh, I need somebody to talk with me here. I need you, Lord, to be with me. I know you're with me, but sometimes I don't really know if you're with me. But you said you'd be with me. I'm going to trust you today. The presence of God. Over there in Psalm 16:11, the psalmist said, in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Can you substitute the presence of God? Is there any money that can equate the presence of God? Do you long for the presence of God? Do you bask in the presence of God tomorrow, today? Just say, Lord, I love you today and I need your presence in my life. How many today say, Pastor, I'm not experiencing the presence of God. There's some unconfessed sin in my life and it's like the Lord's not hearing me. It's like the Lord is distant from me. Will you draw near to him today? He said he'll draw, are y'all listening in the back? He said, I'll draw near to you. Hey, the presence of God. He's wonderful, not only his presence, but he's wonderful in his promises. Amen. Has he ever let you down? I said, has he ever let you down? I need somebody to help me today. Has he ever let you down? Has he ever told you he'd do something and didn't do it? I wish I could say the same. I've not always kept my promises. Somebody say amen. I've not always kept my promises, but I know this. When God promises, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:9. I'm glad my God right here, he keeps his promises. Hey, how many are you feeling tempted these days? I met with some young man here not long ago, and he said, Pastor, I'm feeling tempted on every hand. I'm being tempted with pornography. I'm being tempted with lust. I'm being tempted with gossip. I'm being tempted with lying. I'm being tempted with a critical spirit. I'm being tempted to have a self-righteous spirit. Hey, my God is faithful. Yes, he's wonderful in keeping his promises. 1 Corinthians 10:13. What did he tell us? He said, there had no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but with the temptation make a way to escape. I want to introduce you and tell you today and thank God, encourage you that my God, he's faithful to his promises. He'll keep us from temptation and give us a way to escape. Wait a minute. I need to say that again. We'll be tempted, yes, but what we do with the temptation determines whether we sin against God or not. We're all going to be tempted. Somebody say, I hear you, Pastor. I know what you're saying. God, wonderful, wonderful counselor. He's wonderful. In fact, he promises us, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I've given them, are you ready for this? Eternal life. And they shall never perish. I said, he said, they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. God is faithful. And if you're relying upon your journey out of this life and the life to come because of your good works, I got news for you. You are going to be sadly disappointed. You better put your hope and trust right here, what God says in his word. You can take it to the bank. It's steadfast. It's secure. Thank God it stands, and we can stand on it. Oh, yes. In fact, over there in 1 John 5:11, 12, 13, this is a record that God has given us eternal life. This life is in the Son. He that has the Son has life, but he that has not the Son of God has not the life. These things have been written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. His promises, he's wonderful in his promises. What are the promises he gives us? A bunch. They're all in here. What about the prayer promise? 1 John 5:14-15. This is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition we desired of him. That is a great prayer. Say, Pastor, I want to claim and thank God for his prayer promise today. Is there anybody here this morning? Said, yeah, I've got something on my heart that I've been praying about. I know my God hears me because I'm going to pray according to I'm talking about a wonderful God today. I'm talking about a God that says, I'll be your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's say it together. The Lord is my shepherd. One more time. The Lord is my shepherd. He said, I'll guide you like Jehovah Rapha. And Jehovah Rapha. I will guide your life. His name is called Wonderful. He's wonderful in his promises. He's wonderful in his power. But wait a minute. There's another name he's called.
What's the next name he's called?
Look at verse 6.
His name's
the Wonderful. What's the next word? Counselor. Say it with me. Counselor. How many need a counselor today? Let me see your hand. I believe every one of us in here need a counselor today. We come to a crossroads in our life and we don't know what to do. There comes a time in our life when we say, Lord, I'm not sure if I should go forward. I'm not sure if I should put on hold. I'm not sure if I should make this decision. Lord, I need some counsel. Lord, I'm not sure about this relationship. Lord, I don't know all about this particular business decision. Lord, I'm not absolutely positive about this investment. Oh, yes, we need God's counsel. I met with a young man this week who, like all of us, make bad decisions. He made a bad decision. How many know what I'm talking about? If we rely on ourselves to make decisions in our life rather than relying on God, we are one step away from messing up big time. You need God's counsel today. Don't you think you can do it on your own? I love you, but I just got to get point blank with you. That self-made man is going to mess you up. It's going to get you in trouble. How many believe that God knows what's down the road? God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't. We need the counsel of God. There's daddies in here. There's mamas in here. There's grandmamas in here. There's granddads in here. And your grandchildren are listening to you and me. And we have got to give them some wise counsel. How can I get wise counsel except for from the counsel? Yes, how many need a word from God today? You say, man, I don't know what to do about the situation. Talk to the mighty God. Talk to the wonderful, yea, the counselor. And then not only is he called wonderful and counselor, he's called what else? Look at verse 6. He's
called what?
Mighty God. Say it with me. Mighty God. How many believe that he's a mighty God? Is there anybody here say, my God's a mighty God? I don't know about your God. Your God might not be mighty. Your God might be this small. Your God might can move mountains. Can your God walk on the water? Can your God heal broken bodies? Can your God cast out devils? Can your God, is your God bigger than the devil? How many say, my God's bigger than the devil? I know the devil's been working on me, but my God's bigger than the devil. My God's greater than the devil. And my God can tell the devil to be gone. And some of us today need to say, mighty God, tell the devil where he needs to go. The devil's been harassing you. Hey, how many of you, the devil's been lying to you? I talked with a man just yesterday, and he said, all these thoughts are bombarding my mind. I said, where do you think those thoughts are coming from? Hey, there's no doubt about it. The devil's come to kill, steal, and destroy. And if the devil has his way, he'll knock you out. He'll knock you out. He'll knock you out. He will chew you up. He will spit you out. You and me are no match for the supernatural forces of demon spirits. But I'll tell you, there's one I know. He's called a mighty God. There's one I know that can overcome Satan. I'll tell you how we can overcome Satan: by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of our testimony. Oh yes, resist him. Submit to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. First submit to God. He's called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. Then he's called what else? Look at the text, verse 6. What else is he called? He's called the Everlasting Father. Hey, I want to ask you a question. How many of you need a father? We all need a father. Now, you may not admit it. You may not realize it. Some of you may be blessed to have a father. But here is a father, a heavenly father. We need a father in our life. Deanna and I went to Guyana, South America, a little over a month ago. We had the privilege of speaking at this school. Hindu headmaster, Muslim students. I had no idea. I stepped in the classroom. They said, one of the pastors invited me. He said, come over. I thought they were just going to tell me to say hello to the students. You know, hey, I'm from America. I stepped there not knowing what they were going to do. And there's a big classroom. There's fans going. It's 100 degrees. They've got their uniforms on. I show pictures of it. And then I step in and they say, "How you doing, Pastor from America?" And they said, the headmaster, who's a Hindu, said, "Pastor, will you share a word?" How many know that's dangerous? I said that ultimate question, "How long do I have?" He said, "1 hour." How many know I was in hog heaven? Praise God. 1 hour. I couldn't hardly believe it. But wait a minute. After I finished sharing the gospel message, I mean, God just came in that thing. I saw the Muslim with their garb. I knew the Hindu headmaster. I saw all the temples across the road and here. But some reason, if God be for us, who can be against us? I'm telling you, when you're in the will of God, it doesn't matter. Woo! I'm about to start getting happy. Wait a minute. I shared with them about Jesus, the only living God I know. I know some dead gods, like Hindu gods are dead. I know Buddha's dead. I know Muhammad's dead. I know these other gods. They're not living gods, but my God lives. Amen. Yes, he does. And if your God lives, you can say, "Bless the Lord, my Redeemer lives." Hey, but wait a minute. I was getting around to tell you this. After I shared the gospel now and just renounced all these false religions, I didn't know if they were going to come out with a knife or a gun or whatever. But God just gave us boldness to share the truth of God's word. I said, "Lord, I'd rather die in your will than die outside your will. It'd be better to have your head severed off than have it on and be out of the will of God. In fact, think of it. The worst thing they can do is kill me, and then I'll go to heaven." Woo! That don't sound too bad to me. Anyway, hey, after I shared the word of God, a young man came up to me, 17 years old. And I looked at him. I said, "They asked us if we'd pray with them." I said, "Pray with them. We'll do more than that." And they made their way outside the classroom. This is after 1 hour, all right? This is the second hour. Anyway, this young man, 17 years old, he looked at me. He was taller than me. He was taller than me. How many know what I'm talking about? I'm vertically enhanced, all right? Anyway, hey, he looked at me. I looked at him. I said, "What's the matter, young man?" He said, "I'm mad. I'm angry." And I looked at him and I said, "Why are you angry?" He said, "I don't know who my daddy is." I said, "Oh." He said, "I don't know where my mama is." I said, "Oh." And then he said, "I'm angry." You know what? The Holy Spirit of God moved on my heart. I turned over there to, I had my Bible with me. How many know it's a good thing to carry your Bible with you? I turned over there to the book of Psalm 27:10. And I read over there where it said, "Oh, when your father and mother forsake you, the Lord will take you up." I had him to read it. I said, "Will you read it?" He read it. I said, "I'm not finished." Turn over there to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and following, 18. And he read it, and it said, "I'll be a father to you, and you be my sons and daughters." I said, "Young man, what does that mean to you?" He, tears began to well up in his eyes. Oh, I wouldn't take anything for it. He put that big head. He's a lot taller than me. Somebody say amen. He was a lot taller than me, and he put his head on my shoulder, and he began to cry like a baby. He began to cry like a baby. I said, "Young man, God will be a father to you if you trust him." How many believe that God will be a father to you if you trust him? Oh, yes, he will. Yes, he will. Look at the next word. It's the next word is this. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And then what's the next word? Prince of Peace. I got to wet my old well. My well's getting dry, if you know what I mean. Anyway, you'll get it later. Prince of Peace. Hey, I'll be done in a moment. Number one, why do we need this gift? Number two, how can this gift bring me peace in a troubled world? How can this gift bring me hope in a hopeless world? I'm glad you asked that. You need to look at verse 7. Look at it. Isaiah 9, verse 7. Look what Isaiah says. He says his name is going to be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Brother Curtis always fills me up with candy. Amen, Brother Curtis. I'm in need of a piece of candy. Just kidding, I got one. Verse number 7. Look at this. Of the increase of his government
and are you looking at verse 7? You got to see it. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I want to tell you as I get ready to close, how can this gift bring us peace and hope? The answer is this. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. If you let him be on the throne of your life. Do you hear me? If you let him be on the throne of your life. I got a question. Are you on the throne of your heart? Is self on the throne of your heart? Or is Jesus on the throne of your heart? Y'all answer me. Hey, answer me. I want to know. Are you running your life? Are you trusting God? Are you in control? Are you yielding your life to him? Are you letting him be on the throne of your heart? That will determine whether you got peace or hope or joy. Now, secondly, be on the throne of your heart, but number two, will you let him crown him as king? Crown him as king. I wish I had time to delve into verse 7. I don't have time. My time's gone. But I want to tell you what the Lord gave me. I can almost picture it in my mind's eye. The Pharisees, the scribes, the religious crowd that came up to Jesus and said, Jesus, we want to know something. The Lord said, what do you want to know? He's just young at the time. They said, boy, where were you born? I can hear Jesus say, well, on my mama's side, I was born in Bethlehem. But on my father's side, I was born from eternity past. Okay. Well, son, tell me, what are your plans? Well, on my mama's side, I planned to be a carpenter. But on my father's side, I came to redeem mankind. Okay, okay. Tell me, son, who is your mama and who is your daddy? Well, on my mama's side, my mama's name is Mary. But on my father's side, my father's name, Father God. Well, boy, what kind of plans and purpose, what kind of purpose, what does your future look like, boy? Well, on my mama's side, I plan to go and be crucified on an old rugged cross and suffer and bleed and die. But on my father's side, I plan to come forth from the grave. Oh, yes. Well, son, what about after that? What's your plans after that? Well, Jesus would say, on my mama's side, after I come up from the grave with the keys to death and hell, after I conquer death, hell, sin, and the grave, on my mama's side, I'm going to stand on the Mount of Olives. I'm going to ascend back to heaven and pick up where I left off and then some. But wait a minute. On my father's side, I'm going to sit down at the right hand of the Father on high. And on my father's side, I'm going to wait one glorious day for the trumpet to sound. I'm going to step out on the clouds of the morning, and thank God, I'm going to come and set up my kingdom on this earth and rule and reign forever and forever. That's what I'm going to do. What do you want for Christmas? What do you need for Christmas? Will you take a gift that'll last forever? Will you put your hope and trust in this right here, namely our Lord Jesus? Will you trust him to be the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace? Will you trust him to be that in your life? Let's